All right, let me guess. This is the Imperial March.
Good call.
Is this what you hear in your head when I walk into the room?
I hear this music along with...
Take out the garbage.
I've got a buddy I play softball with. This is his ringtone when his wife calls.
Well played.
It's so funny because he's out on the field and we start hearing it on the bench ringing.
And do you laugh?
Every time.
All right. Well, I am Wendy Snyder. I am here with my husband today, Jimmy Mack, and we're going to talk a lot of Star Wars, but not all Star Wars, because here's the thing. We are playing the 50-50 rule here, and 50% of the audience love Star Wars, maybe not as much as you, but they really are, they love it. And then the other 50% of the audience are probably like, it's a good movie and it's great, but I've seen it. I can move on.
Well, it's that 50% of the audience that I'm talking to, because I want to answer any questions anyone has about Star Wars, or whether it's appropriate for certain age groups, whether you can, it's good to take your grandfather to. Things of that nature. And any questions about the characters, too?
And we're going to have someone who was actually in the movie, a local Chicago connection, correct?
Right, right. Yeah, we have a
Chicago. You don't know her name, do you?
Yeah, I'm looking at her name. Gloria.
Well, I see you prepare as much as I do.
I gave the information to Kevin, actually. But Gloria is a former...
Gloria.
She's a former Cook County sheriff. Who actually ended up in the Star Wars film.
That is so cool. We're going to talk to her at 10:30. We're also going to talk to Dean, the one and only Dean Richards, who loved... I got to ask him. He gave this movie an A+.
Yeah.
And I kept telling you, Dean, I don't want to hear it. You didn't want to hear any of the reviews before you saw it. Well, now that you've seen it, how many times already?
4 times.
And what is the name of this one? Force Awakens?
Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Oh, you got to put the Star Wars in front of it?
Breaking box office records worldwide as we speak.
And we will talk Star Wars with Jimmy Mack, and we will do other things as well. But Ryan, I understand you have a question.
Yeah, I got a 3-year-old and I got an 8-year-old, and I see it's PG-13, and I just don't know. I mean, is it appropriate? Why, what brings it to that PG-13 threshold?
Well, it's typically like your science fiction comic book style violence.
It's not that. We discussed this. It's funny that you mentioned this, Ryan, because when we walked out of the movie, we saw it. You did your Rebel Force Radio live in action at Hollywood Boulevard in Woodridge. And we all went as a family to see it. You had seen it first. Why do you have to do that to us?
I didn't see it before.
Oh, that's right.
Now, I was invited to the press screening here in the city, which happened on Tuesday morning.
And prior you blew that
to,
off.
Prior to the Thursday night release. I blew it off because I wanted to experience it in a packed theater filled with fellow fans, friends, and family. People who are enthusiastic and excited about it. These movies promote like fist pump moments and things that fans get that the stuffy critics might not. And I'm not talking about Dean, because Dean is one of my heroes. Yeah. I love Dean Richards, and I'm so excited that he's coming on later because Dean was with me the first time I interviewed George Lucas back in 2009.
Oh, we got to talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about that later. So when we were walking out as a family, Ryan, we actually brought that up. I said, there were kids here, and I think it's fine for any age. There was really not that much violence, no sex.
There's some nightmarish imagery, which I think might rattle younger children. There's a sequence which
don't,
is...
Don't spoiler alert, too. There are still people who haven't gotten tickets yet.
Hey, listen. Nobody's more sensitive about that than me. Seriously. Did you hear the story about the kid? He was 20-year-old, and he got pounded into the ground by people outside a movie theater because he came out and purposely spoiled the big moment in the film.
Why would anyone do that? See, that's why you got to get in opening weekend, because there's jerks like that. What happened to him?
I think he got taken to a hospital with various states of injury to his body. But but yeah, of course, we want to be careful about that. But as far as taking little kids to see it, there's a dream sequence, for lack of a better way of describing
it. I don't even remember that.
Which might scare younger children. And of course, Kylo Ren, the big dark side bad guy,
he's
intimidating.
Can I say that?
He's intimidating, and he's the thing nightmares are made of. So I think little children would get scared of it just like they would from the Wicked Witch in The Wizard of Oz.
I think that's scarier if you want to know the truth. Ryan, how are your kids? I mean, like, do they scare easily? Could you tell them if something scares you, go ahead and close your eyes?
I think my daughter, who's 8, could probably handle it no problem.
I think 8 is fine.
Yeah, she. I mean, my 3-year-old still gets scared of thunder, but he loves anything Star Wars. I mean, he got a bunch of Star Wars junk. Wonderful stuff over the Christmas.
You can say junk.
He says he loves it. I don't know if I'm quite ready to take him to go see it. I actually just think that the story level is probably just too complicated for a 3-year-old. I mean, he's going on 4.
Lots of
very
cool things
advanced,
to look at, though.
That's true.
I think 8 years old is prime time. I was 8 years old when I saw the original Star Wars in 1977. Yeah, I turned out pretty good. Right?
That's what you think.
Well, I got you.
Oh, look at that.
Did they need the PG-13, though? I mean, could they have taken a couple things out, knocked it down, and maybe expanded to a wider audience? I mean, does this thing need to be set at PG-13?
You know, it was a big bit of speculation leading up to the release of this film, whether it would be PG or PG-13, because prior Star Wars films, the 6 previous, only one of them was rated PG-13, and that was Revenge of the Sith in 2005. So a lot of people were guessing, could this be PG? Could this be PG-13? They went with the PG-13, and I think it's appropriate.
And I bet the standards have changed a little bit from the 80s to,
you know, I don't even know what the
80s, yeah.
I can't even define what the rating standards are anyway these days.
Did you have dreams about Princess Leia when you were that age?
Of course I did. Especially, you know, especially by the time she was wearing the metal bikini.
And what movie was that?
Revenge of the... Return of the Jedi.
She's got you all
flummoxed.
Spoiler
alert.
Well, it was originally called Revenge of the Jedi. That was its working title right before its release. It was changed to Return of the Jedi.
Kevin?
Did you ever tell Jimmy about the first time I met Sarah, my fiancé?
When you were wearing your Speedo?
I was not wearing a Speedo this time.
Your roommate's Speedo?
No. Why do you got to bring that up?
Because it's a funny story.
Well, that's irrelevant.
Well, no, I did not tell him. Do I know the story?
It was Halloween. She was Slave Leia.
Ooh.
See why he's marrying her?
See, that's a path I have not gone down with the
and
old
you
Snyder
won't.
Over here.
And you, the old Snyder, thank you so much.
No, I mean like the good old Snyder.
Yeah, I'm like a good old boy. All right.
Wah.
It's Wendy Snyder. It's Jimmy Mack at 720 WGN. This might be my favorite music.
Iconic. The Cantina theme from 1977 Star Wars A New Hope.
Everyone is texting. By the way, I'm Wendy Snyder, and Jimmy Mack, my husband, is in with me today. I'm supposed to be on vacation.
Yeah, I don't get vacations, especially when new Star Wars films are released.
I know. This is really an exciting moment for you.
No downtime, as you know, I am the host, along with Jason Swank from Cleveland. We host Rebel Force Radio. You can hear us talk all about Star Wars at rebelforceradio.com.
Or go to WGNplus.com and you can hear the...
Of course.
Podcast. What? You gave me a look like, wow. All right, we were talking... Ryan wanted to know if his 8 and 3-year-old children... it's rated PG-13, Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens. And by the way, before we go on any further, I do want to say we are not going to get into spoiler territory. We will not be talking about major plot points.
Yeah, people want to know, should I tune out now?
No,
I haven't seen it yet.
Stick
we don't
around.
Do that.
Stick around because we'll just be talking about it in very broad terms.
And not all day. We've got other things up our sleeve as well.
That's what Wendy says.
773 has texted us, 312-981-7200. You can call us as well. My 3-year-old nephew found Kylo Ren a little frightening. Only Kylo Ren was fine with the dream sequence.
Oh, good. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Because Jason Swank, my co-host, he asked me he said, what do you think my daughter might be afraid of in this movie?
How
and she's
old is
7.
She? Oh, okay.
And I said, I think it could be the dream sequence. Just because it features a little girl in a prominent role.
Don't just spoiler. We're getting to...
No, that's not a spoiler.
Well, I know
I think that's a tantalizing tease.
I
want to go out and see the movie again.
I do want to see the movie again, and we have a phone call here. Bill is on the line. Hi, Bill. Thanks for calling. This isn't Bill Leff, right? You're on vacation, Bill Leff.
No. This is Bill from Griffith, Indiana. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Hey, I'm a huge fan of Rebel Force Radio. I've talked to Jimmy Mack off the air before when he was filling in as well. And just want to ask, actually, Wendy.
Yes.
About 20 years ago, you sang to me on the radio.
I sang to you.
Uh-oh.
You sang me on the radio. I was asking about the song Renegade, and I didn't know the song name. And so I was telling you some lyrics, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's Renegade by Styx. And you started singing it to me over the phone. And I was like, oh, that's the song. That's cool. So anyway, like I said, I'm a big fan of Rebel Force Radio. And I was wondering if you could sing Christmas Tauntaun for us again.
Wendy performed, and you can hear this at WGN Plus. But Wendy did perform a Star Wars Christmas song live at the Hollywood Boulevard Cinemas show.
I did, along with Michael Mack doing Yoda, the Weird Al Yankovic classic based on Lola by the Kinks.
Yeah.
And our son Dylan had a special kind of piano that he played.
Yes.
And yeah. Your brother, Bill Mack and Ernie, played some
heavy metal Star Wars guitar that would melt your face off. So it was a great time. But Bill, I don't know if Wendy could be coerced into singing an a cappella verse of Christmas Tauntaun.
No, I blew
live.
My voice out this week. I really did.
So you have to listen to the podcast. And
you don't know how bad I've been wanting to call in. And when I was driving and I heard that both of you were going to be on this morning, I'm like, oh, I'm so calling in and requesting this.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bill. The jig is up. The news is out. They finally found me. The renegade who had it made retrieved for a bounty hunter, my friend.
Oh, yeah, tying it in.
You, Wendy, you're awesome.
Bill, have a great rest of the holiday season. I guess Christmas is gone. Thank you so much for calling. New Year's on its way. New Year's Eve is tomorrow already.
Guess what? We have a family tradition.
All right. I guess we could do it now.
Do we have time?
Yeah.
It's our annual family tradition with New Year's
I'm
Eve.
Just part of the family. Kevin's laughing because I have nothing to do with this.
I'm getting such insight into the McInerney household.
Well, you know, it's funny because when we had our first son, Michael, back in 99, we made the decision to stay home on New Year's Eve. And it's a tradition that is stuck. We grill
steaks. For 16 years.
We grill steaks. We drink Mai Tais. We
lobster tails.
We cook up lobster tails. It's awesome. And so along with that,
a long time ago in a McInerney house far, far away,
I had to introduce the family to this brainstorm I had, this great idea. You know, sure, you know, Times Square, they dropped the ball. Right?
That's cool. Oh, we've dropped the ball a couple times too in life.
That's cool. Well, you know, stay on target. But they dropped the ball, right? But what we do in my house, we blow the ball up. And what I'm talking about.
Oh, we're out of time now. You've taken too long.
Stop it.
I'm kidding.
Stop it. The ball is the Death Star in the original Star Wars, 1977 original Star Wars release. If you start the film on DVD or Blu-ray, it the exact precise moment in the evening. You can time it. So the Death Star explodes at the stroke of midnight exactly. You can count down. 3, 2, 1, bam! And it happens. And it's an amazing feat.
Although we can't figure out how to do picture-in-picture on our... Although we do have a new TV
we
now.
We have a new TV,
but
so
Jim would bring down this...
Wait, so how I'm confused how you time it out. You have to start at an
you
exact time?
You have to
time.
Start it at an exact time. If you have the special edition DVD release, you press play at exactly 10:02:48. It's down to the second, Kevin. 10:02:48 p.m.
Have you guys nailed this, like, exactly on
one the year we were a little bit off, and that's when he had to drag a TV from the basement up because we couldn't figure out how to do picture-in-picture. And it defeats the whole purpose if you're not seeing the ball drop as the Death Star explodes. What year? I mean, just once that it's been off by just a millisecond.
Just a millisecond, and we don't care. It's not
okay.
Officially midnight until the Death Star blows up in our family room, okay?
And then we hear the bagpipers somewhere in LaGrange playing.
Oh, yeah. I love that guy.
I don't know who it is.
We would search the neighborhood looking for this bagpiper. We'd hear him, and it'd be like, we're getting closer, and then he'd get further away. We could never catch up with him. But so that's how you do it. The instructions are at rebelforceradio.com.
Well, let's put it on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. You're playing
yes.
The part of Bill Leff today.
I have start times and instructions for DVD and Blu-ray.
LaGrange sounds crazy.
It's fun.
LaGrange is crazy. ZZ Top wrote a song about it. It's so crazy.
Quick break, and we will put those instructions, and we'll mention it again before the end of the show, because this is the last time we're going to talk to people before the Death Star explodes at midnight. 2016, I have, you know, I only probably write 5 checks a year, and I just got used to writing 2015.
Yeah, yeah.
Because who writes checks anymore?
Very few people.
All right, quick break, and then back.
Dying art.
And then we're back with news. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Jimmy Mack at 720 WGN. All right, we're mixing it up today. Wendy Snyder here along with my husband, Jimmy Mack.
Hello.
Who is our resident Star Wars expert, fan.
Host of Rebel Force Radio. Heard on WGN Plus.
WGNplus.com. Is that it? Or WGN? Yeah, WGN Plus. You can also go to WGNradio.com. And we have a guest who is actually in the new Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens. And Jim, I will let you introduce her. There we go.
It's really interesting. Biggest film release of, the decade, maybe of all time. And we have a Chicagoan who actually appears in the movie. Not only does she appear in the movie, she is the first actress we actually see on screen. Her name is Gloria Garcia. She plays a character known as Dasha Promenti. Am I saying that right, Gloria?
You are, yeah. Dasha Promenti.
And it's amazing because somehow...
You are geeking out a little bit, I got to tell you.
Gloria, somehow you went from Cook County Sheriff to a galaxy far, far away, and I want to hear the journey. I want to hear your path.
Oh,
what led you to London and appearing in Star Wars The Force Awakens?
Well, it's such a long story. I was a Cook County sheriff. We're not going to say how many years ago, but I trained as a sheriff when the SWORT team was still around, which was the Special Operations Response Team in Cook County. And because I grew up in Cicero, and then, you know, quick steps ahead, I ended up in L.A., and then from L.A. here to London. And by a fluke, my husband got street casted by Star Wars, which nobody
told him. What does that mean, street casted?
Somebody saw him on the street.
God, I am waiting for that day. To be in what, I don't know, not an adult movie or anything, but.
So how does that work? Somebody just runs up to your husband and says.
With a name like Dasha Promenti, it may be an adult movie, no?
But how does that work? I mean, just somebody randomly runs up to your husband on the street and says, you want to be on Star Wars?
Yeah, no. They don't mention what movie it is. They're not allowed. So literally they street casted him and they said what they were looking for, dark skin, light eyes. And he said, oh, my wife would be perfect for this. So they contacted me and then we ended up getting booked for a month on this gig, which we never knew what it was. And so lo and behold, 2 days before, they axed me out and they literally kept him on and they said, oh, you're not needed. And I thought, oh, what a bummer. So literally then the night before they called me back and they said, okay, what about coming in, and doing it? And I said, sure. So I went in not knowing what it was yet. And then literally when we went on set was really kind of the first time anybody knew what it was.
And Star Wars, what did you think? Like, oh my God, I'm in
Oh my God. It was the most incredible experience because you literally see, all the paraphernalia. Then you see the stormtroopers. And when you see the stormtroopers, then you know, your reality is hit that you are on a Star Wars set. It was unbelievable.
That is absolutely
unbelievable.
Amazing. And are you a Star Wars fan? Are you a Star Wars fan? Can I call you Dasha? I want to call you Dasha.
That's awkward. He's looking at your picture in costume right now and his Christmas present that you got, and you're pretty hot, I got to tell you.
That is hilarious. It was the best experience. I've got to tell you what happened was, we literally were on set, and then they had called for a couple of the girls to come on and literally pick up guns and start waving their guns around and everything. And then the director, J.J. Abrams, looked over at me and said, my God, you look like you're going to kill me. And I thought, oh, Jesus, for the love of God, it's my second day in. I'm going to be fired already, right? And instead, they started fussing over me and put me on, you know, on the main set, and he personally directed me, and he asked what I did in my past for a living, and I told him a Cook County sheriff. And he said, you know, okay, so the scene is you're protecting this village and, you know, this is what's happening. And, you know, just like get in that mentality. And I was like, not a problem. And then we did about two shoots and then that was it. And it was just amazing. It was amazing. And so literally, I'm really the only other girl in Star Wars, if I'm not ruining it, with a gun. I'm the only other one who's got the gun.
So for people who have not seen the movie yet or for people who are going to see it again, where do we look for you?
Right, it's right in the beginning. I don't want to say what the scene is because it sets the whole, you know, it sets the whole precedence for the film. But yeah, you'll see me with it's me and my rifle.
Yes,
it's a chick holding guns, a girl from Cicero done well.
Amazing. And of course, you have combat training and you know how to actually use real firearms.
Yeah.
So did you tell that to JJ and weigh in his decision?
Well, yeah, it weighed in his decision because when he saw me pointing the gun, that's when he looked at me and said, "My God, you look like you're going to kill me." And then that's when he asked me, "What did I do for a living?" Yeah. So it worked out well. And so, yeah, I'm here in London and I'll be in The Infiltrator next year with Bryan Cranston, and Brad Furman directed that. So I've got a little, you know, part in there. So it's changed. It's awesome here.
And I also see you were Inspector. So you obviously must live close to Pinewood Studios because that's where all these movies are being filmed.
Yeah, Inspector, the opening shot when there's actually the silhouettes of everybody like moving around, I'm the Monica Bellucci silhouette.
Wow.
And so I did a couple stand-in things for her, yeah. So, but it's really cool. It's just been a blast, and I absolutely love it here. And then a couple of British soaps, you know, that I've kind of peered into, which has been great. But Star Wars, without a doubt, was definitely like, you know, that is just the cherry on the cake, that one.
Absolutely. And people waited. When was the last one out, Jim? 10 years
ago? 10 years
ago,
yeah.
So people have been waiting for 10 years, and they couldn't wait. In our house, we had like a calendar, like how many minutes left till the movie opens. So everybody was waiting to see this movie, and there you are, armed and ready to roll, a chick with a gun.
Straight from Cicero.
Love it. Well, congratulations to you. What a great honor. And it sounds like your career was bubbling a little bit, but this has now pushed you over to the not the dark side. What's the opposite?
The opposite is the light side.
It is the light side. Yeah. That doesn't sound right to me. That's what it's called.
The light side is the right side, baby. See, Dasha understands.
You two are hilarious.
Gloria, it's so nice to meet you. Gloria Garcia, it was really, it's so cool because Jim came home and he said, you know, I was contacted by this girl from Chicago who was in the movie. So that, you know, the hair on the back of his neck went up and said, oh, how cool is this? Gloria Garcia. And I mean, really, to be in that movie, what an amazing story. Thanks for reaching out to him and for being on the air with us.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. Are you kidding me? I think you guys are great.
Thank you. Is there anyone still in Cicero
awesome.
That you
what
want to say hi to, Gloria?
To my mom.
Say hello to
my
her.
My mom, who's in Chicago. I guess you guys are you guys having a snowstorm, or is it snowing out there?
It was snowing this morning. I think it stopped a little bit, but it's not too bad. It was really icy the other day. But is she still in the Cicero area, or she's moved?
Yeah, she is.
Yes, Mama Promenti, we call her. That actually really does fit into Cicero, too. Hey, Mama Promenti!
Mama Promenti. Yeah, and a shout-out to my husband, because if he didn't get streetcasted, I would have never been in it, right?
Oh, by the way, what role did your husband play? Can we see him in the film?
You know what? He's in the same battle as I am, but, you know, they didn't end up showing any of the guys.
Uh-oh.
There's just,
sorry.
Precedence. They love the women.
I got to tell you, that's what's so exciting about this movie. Again, spoiler alert, not really, but I just want to say it in case you want to tune away for a second. It really empowers women. Let me just say that.
Oh, that's no spoiler at all.
And I'm really happy about that and proud of it. Maybe that's why this is the first Star Wars movie I want to go see again in the theater.
Yeah. Well,
right?
I know.
I'm in the second one. Let's hope I'm in the next one, right? Bigger part, bigger deal, yeah?
I hope you keep in touch with JJ.
That's really fantastic that you stood out in the crowd, because there were several extras in that scene. And for you to stand out, and I mean, you obviously were doing a lot of right things on set to catch J.J. Abrams' attention.
Knock on wood, right? Timing is everything, isn't it?
Now, aren't like friends freaking out and calling you and saying, oh, my God, I love that scene you were in. It was you on the big...
Well, they couldn't believe it. And it's funny because when he was walking, when he directed me and then he was walking away back to his camera for them to film it, he literally said, you know what? He goes, the people in Chicago and your friends you worked with the Cook County are going to look and go, oh, is that Gloria? And I was cracking up going, yeah, he can't be serious. Because you have to realize we did this like going back 2 years ago. It's already been almost 2 years that we filmed this.
That's true.
So
no one thinks
of
that.
Be edited in.
Yeah. Right. So you've probably been bursting at the seams just to share your experience.
I was.
Yeah. And then to finally see the film and see you so prominently there at the beginning. Wow.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
I mean, that's just amazing. And, you know, in Star Wars, if you're on screen for even a millisecond, you become legendary.
So, oh, there's going to be an action figure maybe of you.
There could be an action figure. There
Wendy,
could be.
Let's only hope, right?
Oh, that'd be kick.
Conventions.
That'd be so cool.
Go to fan conventions.
If I get an action figure, the first place I'm coming over to is by you guys so we can hang out.
Oh,
all
that
right,
would
perfect.
Be great. That'd be great. Yeah,
I'll
definitely.
Find action figures in Chicago all day long.
Well, yeah, definitely let us know if you're coming into town. And how can people get a hold of you?
Well, it's on my Twitter page, which is the at Dasha Promenti. But I've noticed there's a few other fakers. So mine is the one that says at Dasha Promenti, and then it's at Gloria Santi 11.
Gloria
and
Santi
so
11.
You'll, yeah, Gloria Santi 11, and you'll see at Dasha Promenti. So, and I'm so quick to answer messages back and everything because I think that's you know that's a part of the whole thing. You know, you're in it for everybody else.
Well, yeah now absolutely. That now you're part of the fandom, and those fans of Star Wars are so loyal and so worldwide that you got yourself a pretty good gig there.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, continued success to you, Gloria Garcia from Cicero, who has made it big, and you can see her on the big screen. Can I just ask you, were you worried about, like, what if I have, you know, a booger in my nose or some facial hair that shows? Because you're, you know, the screen's pretty big.
Do you know that they, you know, they made my, like, your eyebrows and everything more, like, fuller. They made it, like, they changed your face a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was more nervous about going, oh, great. First scene ever on, like, major team, you know, major movie. And all of a sudden they're going to make you look like somebody completely different. But you realize it works and it's good.
Were you nitpicking, though, as you were looking at your face that big? Because, boy, that's big.
No. It was just funny to see myself on screen. Like, it was hilarious. You know, you just go, oh, is it going to be edited in or isn't it? And then my husband had seen it because I was away, and he called me up and said, I have something to tell you. He goes, you're in. And I was like, you're kidding me. I know. And you're just like, what? It's like the coolest thing ever. Yeah. But being with the Stormtroopers on set and seeing those guys, you know, Harrison Ford and a couple of those guys, you know, C-3PO walking around and meeting him, you know, Daniels, he was amazing. Mm. Like, incredible.
Wow. Well, congratulations. And if you can hang on, we'll keep in touch because you can be on Rebel Force Radio and we'd love to have you in the studio.
I would love it.
Excellent. Good luck. Continued
I
success.
I love it.
May the Force
Happy
be
New
with
Year,
you.
Guys.
So nice to meet you, Dasha. I can't call her Gloria. She's Dasha to me. You'll always be Dasha to me.
XX Dasha.
Thank you so much, Gloria. Hang on.
Okay.
May the Force be with you. There, we did it.
Now she's a sweetheart.
She is. So she knew how to pack a gun, you know, or handle a gun.
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I have the Star Wars Visual Dictionary here with me. It just came out a couple weeks
with
ago.
With you. You carry it with you all the time.
And on page 15, you can see a picture of Gloria as Dasha. And it's really nice. She has unadorned hair. I mean, there's descriptions. Look, it says unadorned hair, and she's wearing the sash of the balanced. The sash.
I need
of
to
the
get
balanced.
One of those because I'm very imbalanced.
Yeah. So she's in the scene toward the beginning of the film featuring Max von Sydow, Oscar Isaac, and it kicks off the entire adventure.
That's a pivotal role.
It's pivotal.
Congratulations to her. You're a little jealous, aren't you? You're hoping that you're going to be walking down the street in front of the Allstate Showcase studio and George Lucas is going to look at you and go, hey, isn't that Jimmy Mack guy?
Well, you know, George does live here in Chicago.
I know. So maybe he'll street cast you for the next one.
Maybe. You never know.
All right. Well, hold in there. It's Jimmy Mack. It's Wendy Snyder. It's 720. It's WGN. Kevin, are you doing that on purpose? It's funny because I am married to a Star Wars fan. Jimmy Mack in the studio with me today. I'm Wendy Snyder, and you also love Zeppelin.
I love getting the lead out. A lot of people define me by two things, Star Wars and Led Zeppelin. And you know what? That's a reputation I can live with.
That's the yin and the yang of things.
No, not necessarily, because Star Wars rocks and Led Zeppelin could be very mystical.
You know, we were talking about something over the break, and I didn't realize this, but the whole Star Wars geek, nerd...
say nerd.
Let me just finish.
All right.
I'm not saying I'm saying it, but other people do. Are you aware of this?
I shun that.
All right. Well, you have your Star Wars fans and, you know, all the jokes about living in their mom's basement. It all is from Star Trek, isn't it?
Oh, I won't even, you know,
you don't want to get the Trekkies angry, but that's where it came from. I mean, you remember that classic SNL bit where William Shatner was on
The Get a Life,
yes, of course. I mean, hysterical. And, you know, that's kind of where it started, because Star Wars fans, you know, really, what's wrong with being a Star Wars fan, a Star Trek fan, or a Doctor Who fan? Because really, all the intelligent people are into sci-fi.
Well, you know, that's
seriously.
That's always been the sort of thing. You know, I think Star Wars kind of transcends the genre of just sci-fi. It's more of a mythology within itself.
Like, look at Harry Potter. That's mythology too, isn't it?
Yeah.
I never saw one movie.
I don't know anything about Harry Potter. Yeah. But I'm going to learn.
You are?
It's my New Year's resolution. Harry Potter for 2016.
I have not seen a movie and I'm not going to. Why should I start now? And I'm not going to see Sound of Music, people. So quit telling me to see that. Even my sister says, you know, Wendy, really, you haven't seen Sound of Music. Uh-huh. You better. It's a great movie. You'd enjoy it.
You're just being defiant.
Well, now that I haven't seen it, why should I see it now?
You made it this far.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Some interesting things happened in our little town of LaGrange. Actually, this Christmas break, somebody texted and wanted to know what I'm doing here because I am on vacation. But we came back to do a little Star Wars lifestyle show today.
Well, you know, and I appreciate that because I know you're in here every day. But
I love it here. I've missed it here. I'd rather be here than at home. It's easier here.
I'm just such a radio geek that, I mean, I'm just geeked out to be broadcasting from this amazing showcase studio.
You've been in radio a long time, and that's where I met you. And we went to this interesting little thing. Do you remember the movie we saw with Jon Favreau? Was it Chef?
Chef, yes.
First of all, if anyone out here in listener land has not seen this movie, I highly recommend it as a family movie to view this Christmas break. Wait, Christmas is over. All right, this holiday break. If the kids aren't back at school, watch Chef with
watch
your
Chef.
Family. It is the cutest, bestest movie I have ever seen. And I am, as you geek out over Star Wars, I geek out over cooking. I love to cook.
And you are an unbelievable. We are so lucky to have you.
You don't have to say this.
But it's true. I mean, it is true. No matter how mad I get at you sometimes, your cooking reigns supreme.
It saves me.
It does. Well, you know, the quickest way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Isn't that what they say?
I thought it was his lightsaber. I wasn't sure. But anyway,
well, if you dress up in that metal bikini, then we're talking.
That's not happening. So I love to cook, and this local LaGrange kid took his passion for cooking and turned it around into something that reminded me of the movie Chef. It wasn't a food truck, but it was almost like that, and we're going to talk to him after the news, and the news is up next here on 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here, and Bill Leff is off this week. I was on vacation as well, but they asked me to work with my husband, Jimmy Mack, and Jimmy Mack is here with me. We're talking Star Wars, and we're talking other things today. Thanks for coming to work. It was weird driving to work with you, by the way.
Why? Now, we have a history of driving to work together. It's been a while.
But I don't like to talk on my way to work pre-show.
That was weird. I don't think in the 20 years we've been married or whatever, that I've ever heard you at a loss for words. Or not even a loss for words, just shutting down. Like
I'm focusing.
Do. It's like, wow, she kind of went into this meditative state.
No, I didn't. I just like to get my thoughts all in a row.
Yeah, well, I see it's really working out for you.
I don't know if I should take that as a slam or what. I want to introduce you to someone that we met last night. It's just kind of an interesting little thing that I want to share with people. You know I love to cook. I really, truly love to cook. And last night, we went to our local grocer, DeVries Grocery Store in beautiful LaGrange, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And we didn't go there to grocery shop because DeVries was closed. Their regular business hours, they were long gone by then. But there was a really cool pop-up restaurant there. And I know you're like, that's kind of weird. Well, you're not like that because you were there with me. But it is weird. It was a pop-up restaurant. And the reason it was at DeVries Grocery Store in beautiful LaGrange is because there was a kid named Aaron Best who used to work there. Aaron's on the line with us. Aaron, you worked there in high school?
Yeah, I did. I worked there all 4 years while I was in high school at LT.
Okay, so you went to LTHS, we're the best, and you're Aaron Best, and you worked at, you know, a nice little job for a high school kid. Where'd you work? Were you like in the stock room? Did you work behind the deli counter?
I started off working in the stock room and carrying people's bags out like they do over there at DeVries, and then by the end, I worked a little bit with them behind the meat counter.
Okay, and then so you leave, you graduate from LT, you go to the Culinary Institute of America in New York. Did you always like to cook?
Yeah, I always like to cook, and I always like to eat, so I just found something where I could do both.
And so you wanted to, you and I just realized that your girlfriend, Yejin Yoon, I didn't know that was your girlfriend last night.
Yeah.
But so you guys met at the Culinary Institute?
Yeah, we met our first year and then we've been dating 2 years now since December 11th.
Oh, well, congratulations. And so you're home for the holiday break here in LaGrange because your family's still from here and still lives here. And you have this great idea to have this pop-up restaurant happen, and you go to Wayne and Dick DeVries because you know them from working there, and they said, sure. Mm-hmm. So this pop-up restaurant just happens.
Yeah. They had always, when I worked there back in high school, they had always joked with me and said, oh, you should come back and do something with us once you go to culinary school. And I just called them and we got the ball rolling and it kind of just took off.
Which is so nice because let me paint the picture here a little bit. DeVries is not your big corporate owned supermarket.
Small this business, baby. Family owned and operated.
It's
free.
Classic. It's a classic neighborhood grocery store that's more than just a place for people to go buy food. You get the personal attention.
They carry your bags to the car.
That
makes me feel uncomfortable, Aaron, because then I feel like I have to tip them and they won't take it.
It's an incredible part of the fabric of the community. And so it really is a throwback.
It is a throwback.
So they set up the table right there in the butcher department.
Well, the main entryway.
and which was just fantastic. And we sat there with about maybe 15, 20 other people. And we're served a 5-course meal that blew my socks off, sir.
Thank you.
Aaron, I noticed the menu that we had last night. Now, this is just new to people. I read about it in the Suburban Life, and you sold out immediately. There are no tickets available, are there?
I think we might have 2 seats left on New Year's Day, but other than that, the tickets have been sold out, and it's just the response from the community has just been amazing, and we weren't expecting it.
Okay, so you started out with, and you varied the menus each and every night, correct?
Yeah, we have. We're doing a new menu every night and kind of just switching things up to keep it interesting for people.
I noticed on the top of the menu, boire is the name. Now, that's a French word, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually Kaylee Boire, who's working with us. She's a pastry chef. It's her last name, and it actually means to drink in French.
Oh, I should have talked to Kaylee last night because that, what a great last name. Drink is your last name.
Yeah, it's perfect.
So she is the pastry chef, and Kaylee made these donuts that were unbelievably delicious. They were little like munchkins, little donut holes, but they were stuffed with stuff.
Melt in your mouth. Unbelievable. Yeah. Hey, what was fun, kind of a humorous moment was I was looking at the menu for the gnocchi. And
gnocchi.
And and it was really interesting, but it had sausage in there and kale and all this stuff, and it said oyster. And I was like, well, wait a second now. This is kind of they're really going into a new direction here, a brave new direction. But that was a typo on the menu. There was not supposed to be a comma there. It was oyster mushrooms.
Yeah.
Thank God.
And this gnocchi was made out of butternut squash. It was delicious. Typically, it's made out of potato. I really want to mention the risotto that you made. And
yeah.
It was a brave move, Aaron, and I'll tell you why. I love chicken liver, but a lot of people don't. Chicken liver, caramelized onion, Brussels sprouts in a risotto. I adored it. See, I thought it was really
good. This is an adventurous and daring menu, and I'm really, really pleased that DeVries is giving you guys, you know, especially you from the community, 20-year-old college student who's just cutting his teeth on the business, you get this great opportunity, and it sure seemed like you had an audience there that was most appreciative of your work.
Yeah, Wayne and Dick have been very, very gracious with us and letting us use this space and just helping us out and getting us started.
And your girlfriend, I would like to speak to her as well, and I would like to know who made the amazing cream of cauliflower soup we had last night.
That was good.
Okay, yeah, I can pass the phone to her right now.
They had chicken skin.
Well, let them explain it.
It was more than just a garnish. It was amazing. Hey, welcome to WGN Radio. We loved the meal last night.
Oh, thank you very much. We were very glad you enjoyed it.
This is Yejin Yoon. And and wow, what a team effort there, and how great of it for the DeVries guys to give you guys that opportunity.
I know. They've been super cool about everything, and they've cooperated at every turn. And they've been just like, yeah, just take things off the store. We'll just keep a tab for you. And we're like, yeah, we'll definitely. And they just have been like, perfect about everything.
And Yejin Yoon and your boyfriend Aaron Best, who we just spoke to, both 20-year-old students, Culinary Institute of America in New York. This cream of cauliflower soup, the presentation, I just want to mention, these are just 20-year-old kids that did an amazing job. There was a beautiful white bowl, and in it was kind of a triangular piece of, yes, it was chicken skin that was baked and crispy, and then some fresh scallions, and you came with beautiful white teapots and poured this cream of cauliflower soup over it and then told us to break up that chicken skin. And there was a little heat from, what, chili peppers in there? Or chili
peppers? Blistered chilies.
All right. I got to tell you, it was amazing. The presentation was wonderful. And we just wanted to salute you. Did you see the movie Chef with Jon Favreau?
To be totally honest, I fell asleep in the middle of it, but I did see the beginning and the end. It was good from what I remember.
Well, that's what I think of. I know that was with a food truck, but you guys have put together this little pop-up restaurant, which I have to be honest with you, I never heard of before, and I hope you will come back next Christmas to DeVries, and we would like in on it, because I'm telling you, it was pretty amazing. And you and Aaron are together, and you have a catering business. You want to give some information on that, on how people can reach you?
Yeah, so we started this kind of casual catering business last summer when we had a break between our associate's and bachelor's degrees. It's called AY Catering. People can reach us at aycateringchicago@gmail.com. And we kind of just did private parties and just private cooking at people's homes and things like that, small scale, since we're only two of us so for now. But we just kind of did whatever they asked us for. So, like, one party we did hors d'oeuvres for wine tasting. One house we did gluten-free meals for them every single day. It's just whatever the customer wants. The dine is always right.
Well, I sure hope we see you back next year. And I want to say that tickets, you had, it was a pre-sale. You had to buy them in advance, $75 per person. And you guys sold out. And congratulations. Some of the money donated is going to a local food pantry and the Legacy Guild, which is a LaGrange-based nonprofit. It's a great organization. People who have lost a parent or someone and need help with college scholarships, it's a great organization, the Legacy Guild. Yeah. So congrats. I just wanted to mention about a pop-up restaurant. And again, could you give your email address?
Yes. So our email address is aycateringchicago@gmail.com. And we can be reached anywhere. We also have a Boire event page on Facebook if anyone just wants to look at things.
And that's Boire, B-O-I-R-E. Special thanks to Kaylee for doing a great job with the pastry. And and to Aaron Best as well. You guys knocked it out of the ballpark last night.
And Jacob Katzberger. He's also on the team.
Who was?
Jacob Katzberger.
Oh, Jacob Katzberger.
He's the other savory cook, yep.
Yep.
You know, you guys are such nice kids and everything. I mean, behind the scenes, who's in the kitchen going all Gordon Ramsay on everyone? who's yelling and screaming?
Me.
That's you?
Well, and no one goes all Gordon Ramsay on everyone. That's like pretty TV. But Jacob and I and Aaron and Kaylee all work together pretty well. Obviously, there's some high stress points, but no one is really swearing and throwing pans everywhere.
Oh, shame.
That happens in
we
our
work
kitchen.
Pretty well together.
Well, I just wanted to congratulate you guys on a job well done, Yejin Yoon, and thanks so much to your boyfriend, Aaron Best, who is from LaGrange. Mm-hmm. And that's why he came back to his little local grocer, DeVries Market, to do this little pop-up restaurant. It was absolutely delicioso.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Congratulations. And AY Catering, just letter A, letter Y.
A and Y, Aaron and Yedden. It's not very creative, we know, but that's what we could come up with.
AYCatering@gmail.com, you said?
AYCateringChicago@gmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much and Happy New Year. Great job to you and Aaron
Happy
and
New
everybody
Year
else.
Too.
Thank you so much. It was, you said it was very brave of them to serve chicken liver. If they're still listening, you didn't have to eat it if you didn't like it.
Well, I did. I thought it was interesting. And I mean,
when I say something's interestingly good, mm-hmm. like if we go out to dinner and I order something and you say, how is it? And I say, interestingly good. What happens?
You never have it again.
Was it interestingly good?
Yes. I knew that they would have to be very bold to create a dish that has chicken livers and Brussels sprouts and get me to eat it. But I did. I probably ate more than half of the portion I was served. It was a large portion, too, but I wanted to save some room for the gnocchi.
Oh, that's what they say. I loved it. I cleaned my plate on
you
that
sure
one.
Did. Everyone did. Everyone did. It was fantastic. It's so great to see young, creative minds in the community do great things, and that's what we're supporting here today.
Maybe you should have like a pop-up Star Wars memorabilia store.
No, because I can't sell anything. I cannot part with anything.
Still to come, we will talk to Dean Richards about Star Wars.
Yes.
And I know you're excited to talk to him because you guys shared a moment when you met George Lucas.
Yes. I wonder if Dean remembers.
Oh, I'm sure. He remembers everything. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Jimmy Mack. It's 720 WGN. Pretty exciting Blackhawks game last night. You know, I missed most of it because we were at the pop-up restaurant at DeVries Grocery. It was so good. And then I came home and was in a bit of a food coma.
You sure were.
So high-scoring game.
High-scoring game, yeah. Now, I am a diehard Blackhawks fan. I am sick about the Blackhawks. I mean, in the fact that I cannot miss a second of any game.
Do you like it more than Star Wars, the Blackhawks?
I'm definitely as passionate
he
about
it. He did not say yes.
I have very strong passion for Chicago sports. Go Bears! And so the Hawks, I came home and I actually TiVo'd the game.
No one TiVos anymore.
Well, DVR'd, whatever you want to say, but I watched it. And yeah, it was a high-scoring game. Patrick Kane, absolutely masterful with a feed to Duncan Keith for the first goal of the game.
How does Patrick Kane do that? It's like
he's a master.
He just... you got to be paying attention to Kaner at every moment, because he's just going to like shoot the puck backwards at you.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
Dunks was there to put it in.
Perfect timing, well executed.
And
Duncan
score.
Keith, one of the most heads up players on the ice. My goodness.
And the cover boy for Chicago Magazine.
Yeah, I know you're fond of him. Oh, but yeah. You know what? I kind of am too.
He's great. All right, so final score.
Final score 7-5.
Is that typical?
No.
That's definitely pretty not high scoring.
As a matter of fact, the Hawks haven't scored 7 goals in a game. Gosh, I can't even remember when the last time was they did it. I don't think they scored more than 5 goals in a game this season until last night.
7 goals. You know how they have their little tagline is 1 goal. I think they should change it to 7 goals. And I think we should do this every game. Do you think that could happen?
7 cups, maybe.
Oh, that could happen.
Maybe more.
All right, we'll talk to Dean Richards about Star Wars breaking a whole bunch of records. The Force Awakens. It is definitely awake. And we've got news coming your way next, 720 WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points, Dean.
Although we learned he would if you asked him, right, Dean?
What do you want to know?
I don't have any questions because I'm not schooled on the...
Yeah, right.
Behind the green door, that's all I know.
Behind the green door, indeed.
I got your green door right here.
That's right.
All right, Dean Richards on the line with us. And I have to tell you, in our household, the Snyder-Mack home, I was saying, Jim, you love Star Wars. Dean has given it an A. He's doing the, you know, earmuffs. He's like, I don't want to hear about it.
Everybody's been doing that. I have to, like, get into counseling now. I felt so rejected the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, no offense,
Dean. I start talking, and people are like, stop it. I get it. I totally get it.
But now, Jim, how many times have you seen
it? I've seen it 4 times.
Oh, that's awesome. I still have only seen it once. I haven't had time to go. I still want to see it in IMAX 3D.
Yes, absolutely. That is the way to see it, Dean. Now, let me ask you this question, because I turned down my invite to the local press screening. Because I wanted to
He could
to
have
be...
been sitting next to you on Tuesday when you saw it.
Right, right. When they
Wise move to not go.
Because I felt like...
Sit with all the critics. Yeah.
Right.
Let me tell you, you know, in 1976, George Lucas, there's a lot of that going
go.
On.
There you go.
A lot of that going on. It's like, can I just watch this movie? Really?
You're so validating my decision, because I wanted to be surrounded by the fans who had the passion for it.
Yes.
And you feed off the energy from the audience. And I didn't want my first screening to be, number one, I didn't want to be by myself. I wanted to be surrounded by my friends.
Number two, he didn't want to be with critics.
I didn't want to be with the stuffed shirts.
Completely
well,
understand
Dean isn't
that.
A stuffed
No, Dean is excluded from this
Look,
conversation.
You get an auditorium full of people who only come out of their mom's basement 1-2 times a year.
See? I told you.
You know, it's.
I told you that Dean is doing the mom's basement thing, and then Steve Bertrand jumped in and said the sales of Pine Sol has gone up because this is the first time moms
right?
could clean their
they
basement.
Get a chance to get down there, pick up
right.
the tater tots that have fallen in between the
Of course we're talking about the film critics, right? That's who we're talking about here.
So
right?
comfortable when I'm with them again next time.
So Star Wars fans, my husband Jimmy Mack is a huge Star Wars fan. You can listen to Rebel Force Radio at WGNplus.com. Now you and Dean shared a George Lucas moment together.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember this, Dean, but in 2009 George Lucas was being honored by the Gene Siskel Film Center.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was just a handful of us in the press room, and I was lucky enough to be among you guys. You know, and there were some other
that
local
was cool.
guys.
That was cool. Now, were you the one that dropped to his feet and started, like, you know, grabbing onto his ankles?
You know, I still have...
Don't leave! You don't know, leave us!
My arm still hurts from the beating I took from the security guys. But, no, you were just great to hang out with that day, and I followed up with you afterwards, and you actually gave me some videos that you guys shot there, just random B-roll stuff where
oh,
I could
cool.
see myself in there
yeah, cool.
with Lucas. And that was the first time I ever interviewed him.
Yeah, he was very nice, right? I think he's very unassuming and, you know, considering it's George freaking Lucas.
Yeah.
You know, he could be as full of himself as he wants to be and it would still be justifiable. He is actually, seems to me, I've interviewed him a few times, a little bit shy, a little bit painfully shy.
Absolutely.
And completely unassuming, considering the level of genius that this guy is on.
It's kind of interesting, though, Dean. We were in a closed-off section right next to the ballroom where the big event was going to happen.
Right.
And I was standing right next to George as they opened the door so the public can float in and see him. And as I was standing next to him and those doors opened and I saw the autographed hounds, they came up, they were almost like predators as they approached him. And I was standing right next to the man, seeing what he was seeing, experiencing what he was experiencing.
Right.
This is something that he goes through often. And I just felt him deflate a little bit.
Imagine this was a fairly, when we saw him, it was a fairly controlled event. Imagine him trying to do anything in real life and the kind of attention and people trying to get autographs and pictures. And I mean, it must be very difficult to try to live any sense of a normal life, I would think, when you're at that level.
This is true, but yet he does live here in the city, part-time, obviously. He has another home in San Francisco area.
He was out in Washington last night, though, because he was a recipient of the Kennedy Center Honors last night.
And well, that's
yeah,
amazing.
That was actually taped a little earlier this month, but and broadcast last night. So I'm not really sure where he is right now.
I think
Jim has him tied up in the green room.
He's busy counting billions and billions of dollars that he made from the Disney company.
Did you ever see King of Comedy? That's what Jim has him in the green room, all tied up.
He's in a chair.
But, you know, George Lucas sightings on Michigan Avenue are frequent. He does just
walk. Oh, he just walked by the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Oh, he must have escaped. Dang it.
Wearing a sign says the FBI wants me. I haven't seen that guy a million times.
But is this when you saw Dean for this? Is this when you were thought to have tased George Lucas?
Oh, right. Bill Zwecker wrote about this, too. I had a handheld recording device.
Digital audio.
And it has built-in microphones in the front, and it does sort of resemble a taser.
It looks just like it.
And so as George walked up to me, he said, "What's that, a taser? Don't tase me."
Don't tase me, bro.
And it was right around that time when the don't tase me, bro thing was a meme or whatever you want to call it. So it's pretty funny that Bill wrote about that, citing that as an example of Lucas's laid-back humor.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that the security people, maybe I'm not so shocked. I mean, there are so many different recording devices that people use now. It's the days of, you know, a reporter with a traditional looking microphone are over. There's so many different kinds of devices now. And the idea that somebody would come and tase George Lucas, I guess it's not completely out of control.
I couldn't help myself.
There was that one crazy red carpet guy, he was from another country, Uzbekistan or something, and his deal was on the red carpet to prank the people on the red carpet. He kissed Will Smith. He leans over and kisses Will Smith. Bradley Cooper was coming, and he dropped to his knees and, like, grabbed Bradley Cooper by the legs. This guy's now banned from, if they even see him anywhere near a red carpet, they remove him. But I guess the idea of somebody doing something in these crazy days is not completely out of control.
Right.
He's a pretty cool guy. I've been extremely fortunate to be able to talk with him a couple of times. I love that he's got this connection to Chicago. I love that the museum's going to be opening here. Love all that stuff.
All right, we have to take a quick break. Are you cool on time? Are you still at WGN? Boy, they work you so hard.
Oh, poor me. I have to sit here and talk. Ooh, I'm exhausted.
Talk about movies.
Whoa, some people have actual jobs, Wendy.
Yeah, I guess.
Some people are outside shoveling snow right now. We're like,
it's not us.
It's exhausting. I have to sit here and talk.
Talk about movies. And hey, you're going to do it anyway. You might as well get paid for it.
Oh, my George Lucas memories. I'm so exhausted.
Although it's pretty funny because Jim has he remembers them in greater detail than you do.
George Lucas?
Yeah, because it's like, I remember what I was wearing that day. I know, you know.
Is he like Chris Farley with Paul McCartney? Like
a little
bit. Like that kind of level?
A little bit.
Remember when you ate Star Wars? remember when you thought of Yoda? Remember that?
That was cool.
All right, we are going to take a quick break and continue with Dean Richards. And, of course, we mentioned that you saw it as you did your Rebel Force Radio podcast live in action at Hollywood Boulevard, so we could see the movie together on that Thursday.
Yes.
And I sang a Christmas Tauntaun song. We'll come back with that after this. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Jimmy Mack. It's 720 WGN.
When I was a young child, younger than you or me, I went into the toy store and sat on Santa's knee. He asked me what toys I want, Dinky Toys or Ted's. I gazed into his big brown eyes, and this is what I said. I want Christmas, playing with plastic Tauntauns.
I don't know why you got me to sing that.
In my Millennium Falcon, watching the repeats of Star Wars, playing with my plastic figures, Christmas.
Okay. Hang on.
A long time ago in a galaxy far away.
A little fun at the premiere.
Love that.
Had you ever heard that song before?
I have never heard that song before.
It's so catchy. I said, Jim, yeah, whatever, I'll sing it.
I'm going to play that every Sunday from now on.
Okay, I'll get you the MP3, Dean.
No reason, just not completely out of context. It's going to pop up. It could be like a contest. When you hear it, hey, call in, be caller 7. When you hear Wendy.
The Christmas Tauntaun song. I love the Tauntauns.
I love that.
Isn't that what Luke got into to stay warm?
Yes, is that what that is, really?
It's called a Tauntaun, yeah. It's that that animal that they sliced open.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Han Solo stuck Luke Skywalker in there to keep him warm on the snow plains of Hoth.
See what I live with, Dean, and it's kind of fun.
I think it's completely fun. I have, because you got me like in the mood again. I was, when I saw the movie with the critics, I wasn't so much in the mood, although I did love the movie. But when I covered, you know, we did the Thursday night, people waiting in line. Then I started to get in the mood because these were fans who were,
right,
like so happy. And when they were coming out, they were so happy. And I got in the mood. And the studio sent me a whole bunch of Star Wars swag, including Star Wars Emery boards, which may be my favorite swag of all time because it's so stupid. Emery boards.
Huh,
is stupid.
Mine must have gotten lost in the mail.
If I still have the Emery boards, I don't know. I'll send you one of them. I can't get rid of both of them.
Hey, Dean, because I didn't hear your review, because I wanted to remain as spoiler-free as possible. I know you've talked about the film on the air before, but just maybe, you know, in a bullet point sort of fashion, what really stood out about this film? And what do you think about the fallout now that's happening, where people are actually critiquing the critics and saying that the only reason The Force Awakens is getting such glowing reviews is because it is not a Star Wars prequel, which was, you know, which all those films opened to sort of mixed reviews.
I think the reason that this movie is getting such good reviews is that it's such a good movie. It's not just the critics either.
It's plain and simple. Yeah.
It's everybody. I don't know how many people I've talked to about this film. Let's say 1,000, maybe. I would say literally there have been one or two people that didn't give a bad review of the film. They just, you know, they just want to be contrary. Some people just want to be contrary, no matter what it is.
Of course.
There are people like that. This movie has gotten such great reviews, and there's such great business for this movie because it's so good. The super fans like yourself that are going 4 and 5 times, that's driving some of this business, but that's not driving this record-breaking business to where it's just broken the $1 billion mark. People are going because this is a beloved franchise. It's returned to its former glory. That's a big deal. That's a big deal that J.J. Abrams has been able to pay such respectful homage to the first three movies, in particular the first one. And, you know, not trash the second three, or, you know, that would be one, two, and three.
Right, the
episodes
prequels.
One, two, and three, but the fourth, fifth, and sixth in their release order. I think that's the power of this, is that it's done so well. Often when you see actors from, you know, previous incarnations of something, they come back, they're there just as a novelty. They're just there so you can go, oh, there's the guy who played Starsky in Starsky and Hutch. you know, something like that.
Unless it's Huggy Bear, really. Who cares?
Right. But usually they're just there. It's a quick drive-by. I mean, in a literal sense, it's a cameo. In this film, most of the original players are there for substantial reasons, and it makes a lot of sense. But the new people in this movie are just as great.
Yes.
They're just as charismatic. They're just as powerful. I think that this is so great because J.J. Abrams has managed to pay homage at the same time, but also create this wonderful original story at the same time. Why we love these movies in the first place, because they were fun, they're funny, they're exciting, there's a science fiction element to it, there's a fantasy element to it, there's, you know, that sense of Saturday morning matinee adventure, all the things that we loved about the original movies that the prequels didn't have. That's why people are loving this so much and going so crazy about it.
Absolutely, and yeah, you cannot underestimate how brilliant the casting is, especially with the unknowns. John Boyega, Daisy Ridley.
Ridley was fan
superstar.
Fantastic.
Both, yeah, of, instant them, both of them superstar.
Who's the other one, the guy who played
John
Finn?
Boyega. Yeah.
Love him.
John Boyega was great. Oscar Isaac was great. The villain, Adam Driver.
Oh, fantastic.
As Kylo Ren.
Yes.
He was great.
Fantastic. All these new people in the movies that will, you know, carry on. You know, for those who have seen it, clearly, I'm so excited. I couldn't be more excited for episode 8 now, based on what's happened in this movie, based on the way this movie ends, based on the new characters that are introduced that are going to further the saga with a different director now. It's going to be kind of interesting with episode 8 to see how they further the story under the tutelage of you know, somebody else other than J.J. Abrams.
So J.J. Abrams isn't going to do the next one?
No, he's not. He's going to serve as an executive producer. Rian Johnson is going to direct the next one and write it. And then the third one is going to be directed by Colin Trevorrow, who directed Jurassic World.
Which did pretty well at the box office, too.
Yeah, up until about 2 weeks ago was the number one movie of the...
So that blew Avatar out of the water, Jurassic World, right?
Not yet.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Avatar is the all-time worldwide box office champ at...
I was asking Dean. You're the Star Wars expert. Whoa. He's the movie expert.
No, he obviously knows what he's
kidding.
Talking about, but it's just a matter, you know, what? Give it maybe another 2 days, and it might... No, it's going to be more than that. Star Wars right now is at... I forget the exact figures, but... has become the first film to break $1 billion in the fewest amount of days. It beat Jurassic World by 1 day in achieving that record. It's taken in $1 billion. Jurassic World's total take was, I think, 1.8, I think, or maybe in the low twos. I'm not remembering exactly, but overall worldwide take, Avatar, Titanic, and Jurassic World, at the rate that it's going, Star Wars The Force Awakens will easily eclipse Avatar, no question about it.
First Star Wars movie I want to go see again in the theater, and I love that it empowers women.
Yeah,
I love it.
That's a big factor here. My little niece, who is 10 years old, she hadn't seen it yet. I think she's seen it now on Christmas. She hadn't seen it yet. Uncle Dean, I'm so excited to see this. I'm so excited that there's a girl who is the hero in this movie. This 10-year-old girl. How great is that for little girls to see this powerful, caring, wonderful person as a powerful figure in motion pictures? Doesn't happen enough.
Yeah, and it's showing in the box office too. The Star Wars franchise has never seen this amount of interest from female filmgoers.
Yeah, it's a pretty male. When I was at the openings on Thursday night and Friday morning, it was a boys club.
Absolutely,
definitely a boys club.
Well, something that we do at our house every New Year's Eve, you might want to share it with Dean and the other listeners.
Are we going to sing that song together?
No.
Christmas Tauntauns? No.
That might be added to the tradition, yes.
We have 30 seconds here. Tell Dean what he needs to do to make the Death Star explode at midnight.
Yeah, Dean, we watched the original 1977 Star Wars A New Hope, and we start the film at the precise time so that at exactly the stroke of midnight, the Death Star explodes.
Oh, that's
as the
awesome.
Ball drops in New York.
That's awesome.
Not in New York. It's
we do it by
right,
Chicago.
They do it. Yeah.
And we have the instructions on how to do
it. Oh, that's
it.
When Janet Davies falls down. The Death Star explodes when Janet Davies
falls
down.
It's like 7:30 at night. That's Now this year you can do it with that star thing, with the worst named event ever in the history of events, Chi-Town Rising.
I heard you talking about that on Sunday.
It's a great idea. I hate that it's called Chi-Town Rising. I don't know anybody who is from Chicago who calls the city Chi-Town. That's all out-of-towners that do that. And I'm a little bit offended that the person that they've chosen to host this is Mario Lopez. That quintessential Chicagoan, Mario Lopez.
Yeah. All right.
Couldn't find one Chicago celebrity who would do this? Really? Come on. Gene Lynch would have been great for this,
yeah.
Right?
Well, if it's the special edition DVD, you started at 10:02:48 p.m.
I love that.
If it's the Blu-ray, 10:02:42.
The instructions are at rebelforceradio.com.
I love that.
Happy New Year, Dino.
Happy New Year. So great to talk to you guys, and may the Force be with you.
And you, sir.
Always.
He said it.
Master Jedi.
Thank you, Dean. Quick break, and we will talk to the lovely two people that will be filling in for the second half of the Bill and Wendy show. Filled in today, Wendy Snyder, Jimmy Mack, and I believe we have Amy Guth and Connor McKnight. Oh, and Business Lunch. See? God, I just am out of whack here. And Elise Glink is doing the Business Lunch today? I think so. All right, we'll find out next, 720 WGN.